So today's reading from 1 Peter has some sage wisdom on the theme of time management. How do we manage our time? And he begins by having us remember what time it is. The end of all things is near. Well, that's pretty sobering. The end of all things is near. What in the world does that mean? And Peter's not alone in having this understanding of the time. St. John put it like this: children, it is the last hour. And St. Paul wrote, we are those upon whom the end of all things has come. The New Testament is uniform, unanimous, in really saying what Peter says, that the end of all things is near. Why is that? Well, from the perspective of the New Testament, world history has entered her final stages. Because of the incarnation of Jesus Christ, we understand that the most important event of all history has occurred, and all time is now measured in relation to Jesus Christ. Indeed, we could say that's true with our calendar. Because we know that that event, the birth, life, death, resurrection, ascension of Jesus Christ, is the pivotal event of history, all of our life stands in relation to that event. It's true for us personally. St. Paul says, and Peter actually in a passage just before the one for today also makes this point, that sooner or later, all of us, everyone here, including me, is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And what are we going to have to do? Well, we're going to have to give an account for how we used our time while we were in this body. But it's even bigger than that, says the New Testament. All of history, everything, is moving towards the second coming of Jesus Christ, when there will be a transformation that will usher in a new heaven and a new earth. Based on our own perspective, we could not figure any of this out. There is nothing in the world around us to give us evidence of this perspective. But God has told us that this is the time. This is the hour. The end of all things is near. So with that in mind, how are we to manage our time today? Peter says three things. We are to have lives of sober and disciplined prayer. We are to live lives of constant love. And we are to exercise grace-filled service. Prayer, love, service. In the passage that just preceded today's reading, Peter is referring to his readers' former way of life. Remember, I said earlier this week that these were not people who had been previously Jewish. They had been pagans. They had been Gentiles. And they had lived their lives, says Peter, in riotous and drunken living. He writes that because of their newfound faith in Jesus Christ, they are to now live the rest of their earthly lives no longer according to human desires, but according to the will of God. And then from there, he goes on to say, the first thing you want to do is you used to be drunkards. Now live lives of sobriety, especially when it comes to prayer. For you see, sober and disciplined prayer is the counterfoil to the undisciplined life that they had previously lived. Why are serious and sober and sobriety linked to prayers? Because we need to be clear-minded and alert if we are to pray with true knowledge and attentiveness. And of course, all of our prayer is to be informed by Holy Scripture. And in Scripture, as we study and understand the Word of God, our minds are transformed so that we see everything in this world from God's perspective. And prayer is that means by which we see the world with God's eyes, with God's mind, with God's heart. And so to be a people who are cultivating daily prayer will keep us grounded, will keep us orientated as we live in a world which, at the end of today's passage, we're told is very different from the perspective we have. The world is in opposition to the gospel. It's a fact. It was a fact in the first century, and it's more and more becoming a fact in the 21st century. And the world will squeeze us into its mold unless we are being formed by sober and disciplined prayer. But that's not all. The second part of our time management is to join our prayers with love and hospitality. Listen to how Peter puts it. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Love covering a multitude of sins. All of us live in relationships. All of us bug one another. All of us irritate one another. All of us can have a list of the things that we say, "You bug me." But here, Peter says, love covers that list. It doesn't deny the reality of the sin. The sin's real. But the only thing that is stronger than the sin is the love of God. And says St. Peter, this love covers a multitude of sins. This is actually a quote from the book of Proverbs. He plays with it a little bit, but in Proverbs 10:12, it says, love covers all offenses. And here, as Peter wants us to understand what this means for our lives, he has a particular relationship to hospitality. And he says, be hospitable with one another without complaining. Now, why does he add without complaining? Remember the other day I said that one of the key words that St. Peter uses to talk about where we are and who we are wanderers, we are sojourners, we are aliens. Who else was an alien people? Well, the people of Israel. And what did they do during their wandering through the desert? Complain, 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 and they did a little bit more complaining. They were experts at complaining. And here Peter is saying, you too, like the Jewish people, are on a journey. You're wanderers, you're aliens, you're sojourners. But how are you going to live your sojourning? Whining, 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 whining? Or are you going to show the graciousness of Christ? Are you going to be a people of such hospitality that what is going to be evident in your lives is the very character of Christ who took that towel and washed the apostles' feet? Peter must have understood and perhaps even remembered back to the hospitality of Jesus when he said, we are to be a hospitable people. We are to be a generous people. We are to be a welcoming people. Sober and disciplined prayer, constant love embodied in hospitality that then leads to grace-filled service. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift you have received. Now, I've told you this before, but that's the thing about preaching. You need to repeat it. And here's the thing I'm wanting to repeat. The word for gift in Greek is the word charisma. That is the word for gift, charisma. But it's tied to the word for grace, which is charis. So listen again to what Peter says. With the manifold grace of God, serve one another with the gift you have been given. So we need the charis in order to exercise the charisma. But when we allow for the manifold grace of God to work in our lives, we will become, here at St. Peter's, an ever more charismatic people. And by that I mean, we will be exercising the gifts that we have been given in such a way that we will appreciate that we are stewards, Think of the word steward. It comes from the word related to household. Because Peter understood that that is ultimately what the church is. The church is the household of God, where we exercise the gifts that we have been given because the grace of God is so at work in our lives that we are being transformed. And so when Jesus said today, ask for whatever you want to in prayer, we need to understand it in this context. The kind of prayer that we are to ask for is the prayer that is enabling us to grow, to be constant in love. It is the kind of prayer that is enabling us to be a people who are filled with the grace of God so that we can minister in the power of the Holy Spirit with the gifts that He has given to us. When we live life with this kind of orientation, when we have this kind of an awareness of the time, we will recognize that it is the last hour. And with that, we will take Christian time management seriously. Disciplined prayer, constant love, generous hospitality, and grace-filled service. This is what the church is all about. This is what it is to be a church called St. Peter's. May we take to heart the teaching of our patron saint.